You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's the sound. The sound of the start of another edition of the Roto Experts. I'm Mike Blewett, your host, along with my co-host George Kurtz. We'll be flying around here for the next couple of hours on the Roto Experts. We're going to be talking football all day. Obviously, we're in the heart of fantasy football draft season. Many of you may have already drafted and you're trying to evaluate your teams. But, George, as we know, the heart of a lot of these drafts really come as close to the season as possible in these last couple of weeks, or when the dial really turns up for a lot of fantasy football players.
Yeah, I would think this is actually a pretty big weekend for drafts. Next weekend will be as well. After that, it's Labor Day weekend, which is tougher. I know I had my friends and family draft on Thursday night and found it humorous to get texts from you complaining about Chris Archer during the draft.
Look, some of us are still in the mix for baseball and can't catch a break. So as much as I was complaining about Chris Archer, I could probably do an hour on Max Scherzer today. So I will bypass that in favor of talking about the news of the day, and that is football. And we had a game last night. I watched a bunch of that, and the Seahawks first team offense, George, was off and running. They did a really nice job. They were playing against the Minnesota Vikings ones on defense, who are no slouch at all. And Russell Wilson came out and showed that he may be a fantasy superstar yet again this season.
Well, I hope so, because in that Friends and Family League, I ended up with Russell Wilson as one of my starting quarterbacks, Superflex League. So that was good to see. It makes you feel better, doesn't it?
Yes.
And you draft somebody, then the next time they play great, even if it is just preseason and it doesn't mean anything. I said, good to see. I still am going to worry, Mike, though, about that offensive line.
Me too.
That is their obvious Achilles heel there. Other than that, that team should be really off and running.
Yeah, me too. It's a really huge concern of mine, the fact that Wilson could conceivably be in the same position as he was last year. They made a couple of additions to that offensive line, but it doesn't mean it's fixed. Minnesota actually did the same thing. They had massive struggles on the offensive line last year, made a couple of additions, and we'll see if that actually works in Sam Bradford's favor. I can tell you that the running games for both teams look pretty good. You had Eddie Lacy getting a little bit done, and this guy Chris Carson, who was a seventh-round draft pick for the Seahawks, looked really good, as did Dalvin Cook.
It was just good to see, because we want to see the running game goes. We know the running game is questionable, probably more for Seattle. When I say questionable, I mean we don't know how they're going to break these two up, Rawls and Lacy. I don't believe Rawls played last night.
Lacy
was running with the twos. Now he's back with the one because of Rawls. It's still a mess. I believe the ADP, as far as a couple of days ago, was Lacy was going in round 8, Rawls round 14. And it's always a situation where, do you want to take both, Mike, and have to play the game each week of which one starts?
I do not want to do that. And I guarantee you, Thomas Rawls wish he didn't have that sprained ankle, because Chris Carson looked really good last night. Nice change of pace back. We're going to talk more about that game. Talk some Dolphins. We'll talk some Jaguars, which isn't pretty. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're back on the Roto Experts. Mike and George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're here for the next couple of hours. So, let's dive into the Seahawks a little bit. And we'll talk about the Vikes, too. I got to tell you, I'm excited to get to the Dalvin Cook thing, because as little as we can take out of the preseason games at times, I think we're getting a little bit out of the Vikings. I'm just saying, I'll preview that until after we talk about the Seahawks. We're getting a little bit about what Dalvin Cook can do in this offense. So let's talk about the Seahawks. You mentioned it right before the break. There's a conundrum here as far as what you can do with the Seahawks back. Now, I have to put to the side this Chris Carson situation, because I don't know what that is. He looked great, but it's limited snaps in a preseason game. He was a nice change of pace to Lacy. Are they going to install the seventh round pick as the starting running back? No. He looked good right now. Maybe he's a part of the offense moving forward. So I have to put him to the side for now. Rawls is dealing with a sprained ankle. I can't assume he lost his job because of that, right?
I would think not. Certainly not a good thing for him to be out of the game. It does give Lacy an opening, and you mentioned Carson as well. It certainly does that. But no, I would assume Rawls did not lose his spot as far as where he is in the pecking order. And of late, maybe the past 10 days, that pecking order had him first.
Right. So Carson alternated first team snaps with Lacy on the opening three drives. He had six carries for 27 yards. Eddie Lacy, six carries for 20 yards. So it's nothing crazy there. Obviously, we have C.J. Procise in the mix there as well. You got Mike Davis, Alex Collins. They actually have a lot of backs there. So you can actually understand now why they didn't maybe sign some of those, why they maybe passed on some of the other guys, the veteran guys, because they were going to bring in Lacy, a bruising back, because they have some other quicker change of pace backs, right? So anyway, this depth chart is kind of a mess, and I think it's going to cause me even further to stay away from it. I am the only guy I'm on here is C.J. Procise because of his pass-catching ability. I think he's the type of guy that can catch 50 passes this year. For a PPR league, he's the guy with the most defined value for me.
Yeah, I would think I get where you're going there. Running back fantasy, we know it's sort of a it's a mess. There are very few teams that have one back, you know, the Le'Veon Bell type that is going to get all the carries where you're not really worried about a backup. Most teams run in some kind of dual system. It may be a 70-30, 75-25, but they have some kind of system. Seattle's a quagmire because you don't know who's starting, Lacy or Rawls. And you got Procise is going to be the third down back, the guy who's going to catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, you're throwing a rookie or two if you don't trust Rawls and or Lacy, and it's a mess there.
Lacy, the 30, according to Fantasy Pros, the aggregated site of all the experts' rankings, Lacy currently going 32nd amongst running backs. Rawls is going 48th, and this is in PPR leagues, and Procise is going, I can't find that now. Of course, my computer crapped out on me, but in any event, Procise is going later, 37. So he's right kind of in the middle. What did I say? Rawls is 48. Procise 37, yes. Lacy 32. So that's even more proof to the fact that even the experts, frankly, as we are, the Roto experts, are having a difficult time figuring out what this depth chart may look like. So what that usually means, George, is that we are probably going to see a mixture of starts and a mixture of carries all throughout the year. Does somebody grab that job at some point full time? Yeah, it could be. But we saw this 2 years ago when Rawls grabbed the job and everybody was in love with him going into last year, and then it just didn't work out.
Yeah, and so this could be a game-by-game situation. I don't want to compare it to New England, but it could be, hey, we like this guy this week. We like this guy this week. Procise is probably, as you said, Mike, Procise is probably the only guy I would trust because his role is more defined. But how many touchdowns are coming there? Outside of a PPR league, I don't want him either.
Yeah. So he's really going RB3 range, late RB3, to give you a sense of who's going around him. Right in front of him, Duke Johnson, LeGarrette Blount, Doug Martin. Right behind him, James White, Kareem Hunt, Matt Forte. The only guy there who I can tell you has a starting job today is LeGarrette Blount. So, again, all those guys I just mentioned, by the way, have their own issues. George, you mentioned New England. Everybody likes Kareem Hunt, but we're going to have to wait. You're going to have to get you're overpaying for Kareem Hunt to wait for him to get the job right now.
You are. You absolutely are. And maybe he gets it sooner. Maybe it's week two, week four, week eight. We don't know. That's right. A lot of this is a guessing game now. And by the way, if you're waiting for your draft 2 weeks from now, I don't think it's going to help you much with KC. You know, I think it's still going to be a mess today. Kareem Hunt is eventually going to be the starter. So if I had a draft today, Hunt or Ware, or West for that, might want to throw him in there. I want Hunt because I think eventually he will be the starter, but we don't know when that's going to be, when Reed will give him the reins. So it's concerning somewhat. You know, because you hate we all get nervous. Like, what's more important to you, Mike? Getting off to a hot start with Ware, maybe? Or getting the guy that's going to lead you to the playoffs with Hunt? You know, you still have to play this game over and over again. And my problem with running backs is if you draft a guy like Hunt or a guy like Lacy or Rawls, how many of these types of running backs can you draft that don't have defined roles or you don't know when they're going to be the starters. That's the problem with running backs. It can be very messy very quickly.
Yeah, and look, as fantasy veterans like ourselves, we can tell you that that position is going to be pretty messy at times, and you're going to lose guys. And it is important to have depth. So if you ended up overpaying for Kareem Hunt and waited on him, and in week seven he's the starting running back and he's doing well, then who cares that you overpaid 3 months ago, right? Like, who cares?
Well, it depends on the overpay. If you took six rounds ahead of where it should be, that's not good.
Of course.
But generally, once the draft is over, the draft no longer matters.
Right.
Way you draft somebody means nothing now. Now it's all about improving your team during the season via roster moves, via trades, whatever it might be. Like I said, the draft, people, I can't get rid of this guy. He's my fourth-round pick. Listen, the minute your draft is over, it no longer matters. You got to get rid of that mentality. He's got to do whatever it takes to improve your team. If Hunt is the starter, as you said, by week seven, then who cares if you drafted in week eight and round eight, round two, round 15? Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Just as a quick aside, I'm in a home league, and it's a keeper league, and you pay a three-round penalty to keep the guy for the next year. I hate to call it a penalty. There's a third three-round bump in where you drafted the guy the previous year. And he's gotten, I want to call it lucky because they're good strategic picks, but he is going to go into this year keeping David Johnson in the second round because 2 years ago he got him in the eighth. He got Jordan Howard in the 11th round last year, I believe. So he's getting him in the 8th this year. And then he's got Tom Brady in the 5th. So he's starting the year with David Johnson, Jordan Howard, and Tom Brady in the 2nd, 8th, and 5th rounds, respectively. So I say this, I tell this anecdote in order to illustrate that guy's in unbelievable shape. But the second the draft's over, it's not going to matter.
Nope. Like I said, I play in a very similar league. My home league is the same thing. No penalty, though. Wherever you draft him is where you get to keep him for 3 years. And David Johnson was kept
really?
In the sixth round.
That's
not by me. Yeah. I wish. I actually had no keepers. My keepers were terrible. So I went in with a straight draft. I traded away whatever guys I could, kept for extra draft picks. And, I'm happy with my team, which we all are after a draft.
Yeah.
And you move on from there. I'll never think of the draft again right now until keeper time comes later on. But, keepers don't. People love their keepers, and I do too, Mike. But in the end, it's getting the best players available and then doing damage with them and improving your team right now and during the season.
Yeah. So I got Matty Ice in the 11th round in that league. That's the only keeper I have. So I'm building a brand new team. And in some ways, I'm happy with that. I didn't want to force anybody onto the team that didn't need to be there. So, all right, we sort of veered off the path a little bit. I do want to talk about Dalvin Cook when we come back. But let's just to close out this segment, Russell Wilson, he looked great. Numbers are fantastic. You mentioned in the first segment that you have some concerns about the offensive line, but he's been a difficult guy for me to figure out this year. I drafted him in one mock draft, and then when the heat was on in a real draft, I'm kind of passing on him. I'm a little worried about his health, and I probably shouldn't be because he actually played through it last year. He didn't play well. But he played through it last year, and historically, he's not been an injured guy.
Well, I think you're actually right to be worried. I said I drafted him in my my Superflex league on Thursday. So in this thing, he fell. He just fell to me, and I was thrilled to get him actually. So I have no problem drafting him. But I think you have to be worried. He's not a big guy. He's not Cam Newton. He's not Ben Roethlisberger. And even those guys get banged up. Russell Wilson has been able to show the ability to play through the pain through some injuries. But that doesn't mean he can this year. Maybe the injury will be more severe this year. He's going to take hits. I got to tell you, as a fantasy owner, I'd like him to get rid of the ball, maybe not run around so much and take those hits. I worry a little bit.
Yeah. He's currently fourth in the experts' rankings on Fantasy Pros, but I can tell you from draft experience this year, that's not happening every time. It gets pretty muddled after the first three guys. Talk about that. And Dalvin Cook, is he the real deal? I think he might be. We'll talk about Dalvin Cook when we come back. Back on the Roto Experts. Hit us up on Twitter today at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. And if you want to give us a call, it's 844-843-6879. So we're talking NFL this morning. We got through the Seahawks, talked a little bit about Russell Wilson. They just re-signed their center, Justin Britt, by the way, to a long-term extension, longer-term extension, added 3 years and $27 million to his deal. I say that because they're trying to solidify that offensive line. They have tried to address it. Unfortunately, this past offseason, George, we saw teams like the Vikings and the Browns jumped all over the first available free agents that were out there because they needed some help there. And I think it's indicative of the way that both of those teams are going to try to play offense this year. Whereas teams like the Giants and the Seahawks, frankly, that did need help and did need to address it, were kind of left holding the bag. There weren't a lot of offensive linemen in the draft that were going to be surefire starters or at least big-time contributors. Now, we'll see those guys contribute, like Denver drafted Garrett Bowles and others. I just say all this to illustrate that it wasn't that easy to fix offensive lines this offseason because there weren't a lot of available free agents and there wasn't a lot of talent in the draft.
No, this was not a good offensive line draft. And let's face it, most teams, when you have a good offensive lineman, you want to lock those guys up.
Hell,
you know, offensive
yes.
lineman is... It's not sexy, right? It's not a sexy position. That's why for the Cowboys, you look at it took people to convince Jerry Jones to take those offensive linemen in the first round, to take Travis Frederick, guys like the Zach Martin. We saw once again that, you think about when Johnny Manziel came out. Jerry Jones wanted to take Manziel.
I know.
It looked like it was Stephen Jones who pretty much hogtied him to take an offensive line because when you're selling tickets, it's hard to sell an offensive lineman.
And that was the Zach Martin pick, right?
Yes, I believe so. But if you want to build an offensive line, you got to spend those first-round picks, man. You have to do it. And Seattle at one time was one of the top teams in spending on offensive line.
Yes.
And now they've gone completely the other direction. They don't spend on it at all.
They spent the least amount of their salary cap on offensive line than any other team in the league last year, and I think it showed. Obviously, it's in part because so much money is dedicated to Russell Wilson and many of those defenders. So they cheaped out on the offensive line and they paid the price. No pun intended.
Yeah, and the Giants, they knew they had a problem. I think they've decided to give it the unit one more chance.
Oof.
And living here in New York, you get that's going to be much better. They didn't play all that well in their first preseason game with 7 sacks. I understand some of it's probably on the quarterback. It's second, third, fourth units. But still, for an offensive line that had problems last season, 7 sacks week one, not good.
No. And the Giants, Eric Flowers is their left tackle, and everybody in the world knew how bad a job he was doing last year, and he's a left tackle again. And that's not going to change until he plays so badly that they feel like Eli Manning will get killed. So I'll move on from the offensive line talk because I know everybody's thrilled with it. But, the offensive line in Minnesota was addressed this offseason. They signed the top left tackle in free agency in Riley Reiff. They brought in Mike Remmers from Carolina, or from San Diego, rather. So they made some changes. They had major issues on the offensive line last year. It caused Sam Bradford to ultimately break the record for pass completion percentage in a given season because he had to get rid of the ball immediately, about 2 yards down the field, if that. But now they draft a rookie early in the second round at running back in Dalvin Cook, a guy that was thought to have first-round aspirations. There were rumors as to why he fell. But now, during this fantasy draft season, George, people are falling in love with him. And last night was a very good showing for him.
Yeah, now, listen, I don't get all the worked up about how these guys play. You want to see him play and play well. But because the running back had a big game, we've seen this many times.
Yep.
Doesn't mean he's going to be the next coming of Emmitt Smith. Remember, defenses, although he may go up against the first unit, no one's game planning here. You're seeing very vanilla defenses. No one's really giving away any of their bag of tricks here. So I would take everything with a grain of salt. That being said, Cooks is going to be a good running back. I don't have him in my top 10, and I don't see that changing during the preseason. I think the top 10 is pretty solid there. But I do wonder if Cook is going to get more play over guys who used to be in the top 10, Lamar Miller, who seems to be dropping. Guys don't trust him as much for whatever reason that might be. So I do wonder if he gets a play over guys like that. If people teams keep worrying about Jay Ajayi, because once again he's got the concussion. The Dolphins are sort of a mess now. They didn't look very good the other night. So I do wonder if that happens there, Mike.
Yeah, fair point. I would say Dalvin Cook, he ran 7 carries for 40 yards. He displayed his ability that he did at Florida State. He caught a pass for 10 yards. He's going to be a versatile back. I know people are going to make that Devontae Freeman comparison because they both went to Florida State, but it is apt because they are both versatile backs. I think Florida State's done a really nice job with these guys, and they are pro-ready type players. I don't think Latavius Murray, long-term, George, is going to eat much into Cook's touches. I think it even less now. As you said, I don't try to take too much out of the preseason games, but with the buzz, with the momentum, and the fact that he got out there with the ones and he's producing, I do think that he is going to be a guy that 18th on Fantasy Pros right now and rising, as you said, probably replacing some guys that we have maybe a little bit less confidence in, whether it's Marshawn Lynch or Ty Montgomery or Lamar Miller, as you said.
Yeah, I said it's becoming a little bit, once again, a little jumbled there after the first top 10, top 12 guys here.
Yeah.
Because Lamar Miller, everyone seems to be losing faith in Lamar Miller, which I'm not sure why that is, but I understand why that is. He's just not, even last year, his numbers were more by quantity rather than quality because they ran him so much. Now, maybe that's because the quarterback was so bad that defenses were a little
close. Well, what are they going to do this
box
year?
And there was no holes. That's right. That's what I'm saying here. It's the same thing again, right? Unless Deshaun Watson eventually gets in there and impresses, same problems are going to exist.
He touched the ball 299 times last year.
Maybe you're down on a Ajayi. Dolphins are a mess. Got the concussion already. You know, maybe Marshawn Lynch, you know, you don't believe in him because he's 31 years old, retired, been out for a year, wasn't very good the year before that. Ty Montgomery's never done it before. You know, Ingram and Adrian Peterson, that's another nightmare in New Orleans trying to figure out here. So I could see, you know, realistically, if you had Cook in your top 12, I don't know if I'd fight it all that much.
All right, so since you made a player comp to Lamar Miller, I want to take a look at Lamar Miller. So only 5 rushing touchdowns. And he had 1 passing touchdown. So 6 touchdowns total for a guy that touched the ball 299 times. That's a result of the offense, right? They're not moving the ball up and down the field the way they should. But he did have 1,200, 1,261 yards, it looks like, total. He touched the ball 299 times. Now, he finished out as a running back, too, kind of low running back, too, in standard leagues. So, I mean, for me personally, I would think that he has the ability to improve there because maybe the offense improves with quarterback play. A lot of turnovers last year out of Osweiler. They weren't punching the ball in. Can I just say that if Lamar Miller sees the same work rate, he's bound to go up because the offense will be better?
Sure, I can buy that, but I don't think he's going to receive the same work rate either. Now, he did miss the last 2 games of the last season. We should point that out.
Yes, he's in 14 games.
So, they drafted Foreman. Right, I think he's going to get some play there. I don't think they want Miller to touch the ball, probably not more than 299, right? I mean, maybe even less. Maybe it's 275 range here. So can he put up the same numbers there? Yards per carry 4.0, that's very, very pedestrian. That's not actually very good at all. But I think he does get a grain of salt because of the passing game here. But as you already pointed out, Mike, is that passing game any better? I mean, it could be the same exact offense we're running here, just with a little bit of a quarterback who can get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins a little bit more.
True. So, you know, we'll see on Lamar Miller. I haven't drafted him yet. George, I went through the exercise of kind of lining up all my rosters yesterday to see which players I'm repeating. You know what's funny? I thought I drafted Leonard Fournette once or twice, but I think I was doing that in mock drafts. I have not pulled the trigger on him in regular drafts yet. So I'm sitting with Christian McCaffrey a couple of times. I'm sitting with Mark Ingram a couple of times. I have Breeze twice. I have Roethlisberger twice. So I do that because as I get to my last 2 or 3 drafts, which I have 2 or 3 left, I want to make sure I'm not invested too heavily. You know what I mean? diversify, as we talk about all the time. To go all in on a player, I think, can be foolish. So I'm going to try to diversify. And by the way, in one of my home league drafts, I wanted to talk about this. I pulled off the number one pick. It's not a keeper league, so it's wide open, and it's a half point PPR. So I'll be figuring that out as we go. It's not a difficult decision, but as a Steelers fan, the fact that I'm leaving David Johnson has me somewhat concerned. Like, I feel like I'm missing out on an opportunity to own Le'Veon Bell. But the longer this holdout goes, the more risk I feel like there is.
I have Bell as my number one overall, and we've heard that he's going to report before week one. Now, we don't know if that's the Monday before, is it next Monday? Personally, I hope it's I don't mind after the week three game. You know, get him 2 weeks there, I think he'll be fine there. But if that's enough to make you go David Johnson, not that there's anything wrong with David Johnson, I have no issues with that either. In my other home league that I play in, I also have the number one pick, but that's a straight two quarterback league, and it's only 10 teams. I'll be taking Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I own that league with a friend, so I'm going to, I'll probably let him make the call. I'm not going to, I'll remove myself, I'll recuse myself as the resident Steelers fan and let him make the pick to see who he likes better. He's going to ultimately throw it back to me, but I'll just, I'll let him make the pick. So anyway, I wanted to talk about Blake Bortles in this segment, but we got sidetracked with a couple of other things. Always important to talk about many.
No one wants to talk Blake Bortles.
I'm going to do 15 minutes on Blake Bortles after this. I got some issues.
Sad.
Blake Bortles.
Make a
trade. My dynasty league. So we are going to talk about Blake Bortles and Jameis Winston. And we'll talk a little bit about that game from a couple days ago. So it's Mike and George. We're talking fantasy football for the next while on the Roto Experts. We're back on the Roto Experts. You're following us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio, and I would suggest that you go to rotoexperts.com and take a look at the exclusive Edge draft package. We have all kinds of rankings, cheat sheet generators, a lot of different stories in there. On I wrote one on offensive lines, George did one on new faces, new places, so guys switching teams, what their roles might be. So there's a wide variety of content in there. A buddy of mine picked one up yesterday, and he was like, wow, there really is a lot of stuff in there here. It's going to be helpful. So don't be overwhelmed with the amount of content you see in there. You can just take it piecemeal as you head towards your drafts. Most of the articles are pretty easy to read. So a lot of good contributors in there. Chris Venture, Brandon Murchison, Scott Engel, the King. So enter promo code FREERADIO for a special discount on the Roto Experts exclusive Edge draft package. So, George, turning the page.
Mike.
Over my man, the guy who I termed the fantasy magician. He's a magician because he doesn't play NFL football particularly well. But he's going to get you some top 10 quarterback value in fantasy the last couple of years. And that is none other than Blake Bortles. And unfortunately, he's the biggest story in the preseason for these first couple of days because he was so bad on Thursday night that it caused the coach, Doug Marrone, to open up the quarterback competition on him. Blake Bortles currently going 21st in Fantasy Pros ADP, obviously plummeting probably in the last few days. Now, Bortles was underrated last year for fantasy and ended up producing because the Jags were a lot worse than people expected, and he had to throw his way back into a lot of games. A lot of garbage time fantasy points, which is just fine by us, frankly. But it's a mess now. I have Bortles as my one of my two quarterbacks in our dynasty league that George and I play in. That's a league in which you keep your entire roster year over year, manage it like a normal team, only rookie drafts each year. So I've been using Bortles the last couple of years in swapping him in and out with Phil Rivers. But last year, mostly it was Bortles, and the year before it was mostly Bortles too. And now I don't even know if he's going to be any kind of asset moving forward.
Yeah, the wheels are coming off the track here. I mean, he looks terrible right now. I don't know why that is. Is his confidence shot? Is he reading all the press clippings about how they're going to run the ball, keep the ball out of Bortles' hand? They don't want Bortles to lose the game. You know, all this sort of negative stuff. Has it finally gotten to him? Or was it one bad game? But according to Coach Marrone, apparently not.
No.
Practice hasn't been more that much better. So there are some issues here. The problem is, can you really go to Chad Henne? I mean, check down Chad? Can you really pull this trigger?
I can't remember which check down Chad is the real check down Chad. Is it him or
it's
Pennington?
Check down Chad Henney. That's Henney. Henney was the original check down Chad.
Every guy named Chad, everybody just says check down because it's a funny alliterative nickname. But I can't never remember. It's Henney or Pennington was the original.
I guess if you were Charles, you'd be check down Charles, too.
It could be.
So it just sounds good, right? Check down. I get it. But I believe Henney was the original check down guy. That's where I remember the name first coming out here. But I forget exactly what stat it was, but they were trying to make a step at how bad Bortles was. You know, he's third worst in the NFL in this stats. It's whatever. Guess who was number one? Check down Chad. So really, are you getting any better here? I mean, I just don't see it here. Maybe you ought to go and talk to Buffalo. They seem to be down on Tyrod Taylor, right? But you know, since last season or maybe since forever. Maybe try and make a trade for Tyrod. They want to get rid of everybody else. I'm sure it'll make the funky cold Modica happy.
Yeah. Hell, they have Brandon Allen there as the third stringer, second year quarterback out of Arkansas. He went 10 of 15 for 144 and a touchdown. Obviously, he went against the backups, playing with backups. But if you had to guess right now, is Bortles in there week one?
Unless his confidence is totally shot. I mean, it's just gone, obliterated. It's history. Yeah, I think it has to be Bortles because no matter what you think, I mean, check down Chad is just not the answer here.
I mean, if Bortles is not in there week one, that means you have punted the future of the franchise completely.
Yes. Like, I think you have anyway.
He kind of can't come back from that. Things happen. Like, maybe Henny's so bad, they're like, all right, we'll put Bortles back in, and then Bortles gets on some crazy run because, at this point, the pressure would be off, right? He's not going to be on the team next year if he can't start week one now.
But
so,
isn't that the other thing they're throwing out there? Because he's due, $19 million next year, that if they play him and he gets hurt, that's guaranteed?
It's like a Robert Griffin situation?
Yeah, so that's being thrown about, too. It just adds more cloudiness to what's going on here. I mean, it's sort of a nightmare. If they're thinking that way monetarily, then do you go with Chad? Oh, it's a mess. I mean, really a mess. This should have been figured out during the offseason as well.
Yeah, but you had to sort of look, I think you had to give him a chance this year. Yes, it was bad last year, and the year before wasn't much better, but the offensive line has stunk his whole time there. They kept changing offensive coordinators on him. Now the problem is he's been with this guy for a while, with Marone. Marone is running the team, but he's also an offensive coach. So he's been lockstep with Bortles for a long time now. Some of the throws are just putrid. I think that's the thing that always is perplexing about it. He makes throws that are just not NFL throws at all. They don't resemble them. He missed Allen Robinson so badly on the one play, which is the one everyone is talking about. Down the seam, he's open, and he threw it behind him by like 7 yards. Now, maybe the ball slipped, whatever. But the reality is, for fantasy owners, Bortles was going to be a QB2 this year in your super flex QB2 type leagues. The problem is he's way too much of a risk right now to be benched, whether it's before week one or afterwards. If I had to guess right now, I'll say it's Bortles in week one with a really quick hook. Sort of like what Bill O'Brien did a couple of years ago with the Hoyer mallet situation.
I like it. I don't think you can argue with that. I think he would have a quick hook if he starts. Yes. I think his confidence is shot. I think we've all heard about his throw. The way he throws, the nose of the ball down, which is why his ball tends to go all over the place and not very accurate. You would think they could correct that, but apparently that might still be an issue here. Anyway, you look at it. For a team that we believe has improved, you made all these free agent additions, but if you don't have a quarterback, nothing else really matters.
All right. So that impacts my fantasy, my dynasty team. And there's been other people out there that, you know, do you keep Blake Bortles? Do you not? You don't keep Blake Bortles now. Absolutely not. Now, it depends on the style of the league and what kind of draft asset he can be. But right now, he's a QB2 and a late QB2 at that, because there's far too much risk attached to him once the season starts. Now, George, the way this impacts a guy that everybody has really liked this year in Leonard Fournette. Obviously, we could be in a situation like we were with the Rams last year, where they couldn't throw the ball, and it ends up with nine guys in the box, and Todd Gurley had no room to run. You can blame whatever you want on Todd Gurley, but the reality is it is mostly the inefficiency of the quarterback and the rest of the offense. Are we going to see the same situation here where Leonard Fournette, currently an RB1 and in the top 10 for most people, he could be seeing nine-man fronts? And are we looking at the devaluation of Leonard Fournette before the season even starts?
You know, Mike, when you started talking about this, right, a second ago, I started to think, I knew where you were going to go. I'm like, yeah, Gurley's first thing that came to my head, too. Because you can, once again, you could put eight men in the box here, force Chad Henne to throw the ball into the secondary. So sort of a Sam Bradford thing, too, right, where he didn't throw the ball into the secondary. He kept doing all the checkdowns. You know, I know we keep bringing this up here,
Kyle Rudolph a fantasy star.
And they don't have a tight end to make a fantasy star. Julius Thomas is gone. Brandon Albert, the left tackle they got for Julius Thomas is gone. So the offensive line is in a state of flux as well. It certainly makes me worry about Fournette a little bit. I think the talent is there. It's like, I think the talent is there with Gurley. But if there are no holes to run through, he's got to be his own blocker and block a guy to get him to a next level. Each time, it's going to be a problem. I haven't dropped Fournette in my rankings yet, but I think that may be coming.
Yeah, I mean, last year, they have Michael Rivera there now in Jacksonville. He's likely to be the starting tight end, but nobody of consequence previously in the NFL with any tight end experience. But that is something you're going to have to look at, not to keep belaboring the point, but the check down Chad thing and Bortles, if he goes to a safer passing situation, just to keep himself out of trouble. I mean, the problem with Bortles is there's so many turnovers. Yeah, the missed passes, but the turnovers are brutal. And honestly, the offensive line isn't very good, and he's under pressure a lot. I get it. I don't think it's an easy situation for Bortles, but it is what it is. There's other guys that have been in difficult situations, too, and have been able to weather the storm. Like, you have your David Carrs of the world where he's never able to turn it back around. And you have other guys that weathered a rough start, whether it's Troy Aikman or Peyton Manning or whatever else it might be. I know I'm picking Hall of Famers, but that's the reality of it. Those guys are on horrible teams, too, and they were able to get through it. So Todd Gurley last year, just to give everybody a sense how many times he touched the ball, and he was seen as a massive disappointment for a lot of people. Todd Gurley touched the ball 278 plus 40, yeah, just 320 times, basically, that Todd Gurley touched the ball. And people saw him as disappointment. I'm just concerned that Leonard Fournette could see the same thing. 300 touches and people are scratching their head as to why he stinks for fantasy.
You know, football's a team game. If you don't have the offensive line blocking for you, you're not going to do too well. And so I'd be worried as well, Mike. Like I said, I still have Gurley in my top 10. And I'm not going to move him out yet. But if we don't see some improvement from the quarterback situation, I could see where you move Matty to top 12, actually, because I think it could be a bad spot here. Like, you can run the ball all you want, but if you can't block for him, if he has to see eight guys in the box every time, he's not going anywhere.
Tremendous amount of talent. He's a guy I really like. I wish I had him in some keeper leagues, but the thing that happened most for me out of this Thursday night game with Bortles is that it hurt the Leonard Fournette value for me. I just don't know what that quarterback situation is going to look like. I feel like it's going to be way too many guys stacked up trying to stop Fournette. Come back. We'll close out this hour. Talk a little bit about the Dolphins. George loves Jay Cutler. We'll talk about him when we come back. Back on the Roto Experts to close out the hour. It's Mike and George. And George, to close it out, so we only got a couple of minutes here. Dolphins played the Ravens the other night. Ravens, whipped up on the Dolphins a bit, 31-7. But I don't get hung up on the scores of these games too much. The reality is Joe Flacco's not even playing for the Ravens. I'll ask you this question first before I get to Cutler. I saw a comment the other day, I can't remember who it was, on social media about, it might have been Kian Fahey, who's like a quarterback guru. He was saying that Joe Flacco isn't playing right now, and it seems to be that nobody is concerned enough that Ryan Mallett could be the starter in Baltimore. It could be a major weakness for that team if they have to drop off to Mallett for any portion of that season?
Joe Flacco is something great. Listen, I think Flacco is so overrated, it's not funny. come on. Fantasy-wise, we don't even talk about him, right? He's nowhere near. Even in a two-quarterback league, you don't want Joe Flacco. If you end up with him, that means you've probably got some issues there. So I don't – would it be a downgrade to Mallett? Absolutely. Mallett's terrible. You know, we've seen it bounce. This is why he's bouncing around the NFL, because he just can't get the job done here.
He's got no touch.
I think it is kind of
no touch.
It is kind of interesting that we're not talking about Flacco.
Yeah.
About the injury. I think that's what tells you what we feel about him. That, yes, would it be a downgrade to Mallett? Sure. But is Baltimore going anywhere with Flacco? No. You know, does it matter either way? No. As far as the NFL is concerned, Baltimore's not a threat to anybody. You know, they'll win some games because they're not a bad team. You know, they're an average one. But I don't think it matters as far as NFL is concerned either way. And as a fantasy-wise, you know, two-quarterback league, if you end up with Flacco, he's somewhere in that 22 to 24 range, so fine. He's going to end up on your fantasy team, but he's not someone you're shooting for.
And the running back situation has been somewhat nebulous, although it looks like, you know, we're going to get a little bit of Terrence West. We're going to get some Danny Woodhead. I would note that they've lost three offensive linemen this summer. I think two of those guys are gone for the year. So we got some problems in Baltimore. I saw a prediction the other day that they were going to go 8-8. I think if you're a Ravens fan, you think you're lucky stars that this team went 8-8. I think they have major issues, Flacco being at the head of it. But they've been bitten by the injury bug, as has their opponent in Miami. And Jay Cutler comes in, George, and it looks like he's ready to go. He's installed in this offense. He's got a longtime relationship with Adam Gase. He obviously had success with him in Chicago a couple of years ago. And Jay Cutler's off and running. I'm just curious where you have him in your rankings. He's a QB too, right?
Oh yeah, he's a dog. I think I've been 18 offhand.
That's pretty good.
Rankings, so he's
pretty good for a guy that was broadcaster 2 weeks ago.
Well, I mean, I also tell you that what's going on as far as quarterbacks are. It's deep, but it's 17 deep. That's the way I look at it. Quarterbacks to me is 17 deep that I would start. I wouldn't mind having as a quarterback one. Although Tyrod Taylor is now sort of teetering on that he has to be taken out of that.
We'll talk about him.
One range. All right, so that's sort of a mess there. But yes, I have Jay Cutler. Actually, I have Jay Cutler 21. My bad, 21. I have Dalton, Wentz, and Palmer all ahead of him. So Cutler, you can live with Cutler. He looked a little rusty on Thursday, a little unsure of himself, but. Yeah, he's only been there 10 days. Give the guy a break.
He's retired 10 days ago.
Right. So he's still got, you know, another 3 weeks to get in game shape here and figure things out. You mentioned he knows the Gase offense. I think Cutler will be fine as far as he'll do what he always does. The arm will be there. He'll make some plays, but he'll make some boneheaded decisions too. You know, so that's what you're gonna have to live with there in Miami.
And he'll guaranteed put the sourpuss Jay Cutler face on when he makes that mistake.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's what he does, right?
Maybe blame somebody else for it.
You know, smoke a cigarette through the cage there, so through the bars. So,
God, that guy is so universally disliked. It's not funny, but it is. What do you want me to say? The fact that people hate this guy so much is comical to me. Closing it out on the Roto Experts, it's Mike and George.